And he says, all right, now look, here, right down here, after hearing about your little adventure, Michelle Delving, and he's pointing roughly at the map, which Cal is furiously like, you know, copying at like Xerox speeds to jump out of a game for a moment, like just, you know, bzzz, right? I'd
they
like
have Xeroxes in the Shire?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Out of game. I said just for a moment.
It's old timey, right? So obviously. Right.
They call
Xerox copy bottom, my friend right next door. So he says, after hearing all about your little adventures in Michelle Delving, I'd like a taste of adventure myself. It says here on the map. And he tries to point back to, I'll have to ask Brad when he gets back where Cal is put this, but he's pointing generally in the direction of the map. That the Club of the Bull Roarer, and he turns to you, Titch. Bull Roarer took, you know, the one who defeated the goblins at the Battle of Graham? Yes, that one. The
Coriander whispers, he invented golf.
I don't know what golf is.
He says,
you didn't miss anything.
It says here on the map that the Club of the Bull Roarer may be somewhere around the village of Oat Baron in a place called Kingsworthy. Exciting, isn't it? A baron of oats worthy of kings? It cannot be. Oh, I'm so excited about it. And I was thinking, perhaps. Yes. Wait, what is it, Titch?
Baron or Baron?
A Baron. B-A-R-O-N. You know, the Baron. The Baron of Oats. The leader. The commander. The nobility.
Not something that is Baron of Oats.
No. That would be a terrific monstrosity. I haven't seen something.
Unless you're growing wheat, then it would be fine.
Baron of Oats since I went east of the mountains. But no, thankfully, we are not Baron of Oats here. The Baron, in a place called Kingsworthy. So I was thinking, perhaps in return for my generous hospitality, we could take a walk north and do a bit more investigating into the matter. Imagine it, being credited with being the ones who found the Club of Bull Roarer Took. And there's more, Titch. And he kind of nods and he gets this twinkle in his eye. And probably Granny and Coriander, if you see this, you would know that this is usually the twinkle that Bilbo gets when he's about to land what he thinks is a winning argument. And he says, there's more than that. Because you see, there have been rumors of problems in that area. Problems with those who might raid and attack the civilized people. Up to the north, you know, there are not as many guards available. There's not as many people to protect them. They have, if you will, no shield wall there, and they could use someone with the ability to protect them from these depredations. Finding the Club of Bull Roarer Took would not only inspire them and build their morale and steal them, creating a bulwark for them to come, but also might make it possible for you to explore the, what the heck is the name of that thing? The waffle thing?
The
Stroop Waffle. The Stroop Waffle that I have for you right there.
Stroop
Waffle, sorry.
It's not a who, it's an O.
Immediately everyone in chat, Stroop Waffle with exclamation points. So they get Stroop Waffle, I'm like, yes, sorry.
No, it's called a Stroop Waffle.
It's
wanting like a strobe light to come on whenever one of them appears.
it's just Dutch for syrup.
It goes to the hall, yeah.
He says, so you would in effect be killing two birds with one stone. Not that we kill birds, as we've learned. And I would love for us to do this. Well, wait right here. Let me just get you the gear that you'd be wearing to suit a proper adventure. And he disappears in a flash around the corner, leaving you all alone for who knows how long. Probably not long, knowing Bilbo.
So let me get this straight. Bilbo is saying that there are civilized people up north?
And I also got in trouble for the whole bear thing.
Well, there was no bear, so nothing to get in trouble over.
Well, who? I have to ask, with whom are you in trouble?
My captains in Bree.
Your captain?
The ones who sent me here to find a bear. I come all the way out here. Basically, my excursion, such as it was, paid for by them to come out here and investigate this request for help to find this bear that everybody seems to keep reporting, and I find out that it's someone with a mop. And the whole thing is a ruse. to waste our time and resources, and I get the whole thing laid on my head because I didn't figure it out fast enough.
That sounds like you need a vacation up north. You know, with the civilized people.
Titch, if you will excuse my saying so, I feel like what you are actually telling us is that the people for whom you work and for whom you labor are not appreciating you and are not appreciating the very hard work that you do for them. And I think that you should spend your time with people who do appreciate you. Like us.
As she says, spend time with people who do appreciate it. He starts to turn towards the door, and then, like us, like, oh, and he turns back.
He says, did someone say appreciate us? And around the corner comes a chest. Now, I mean this literally, an actual treasure chest of some kind. Yeah. Comes around the corner, and at first you're like, how is this? And then you see that it's actually being held aloft barely by two hobbit legs and feet. Yes, held by a bear. Here you go. No, and comes over and then like drops it down in front of you and says, oh, there you are. Take what you need. It's no knowing where we'll be swept off to. And he turns to dash off again, but turns around back to you, almost laughing at his own forgetfulness. Well, I've muddled my wits staying up all night making a copy of the old Took's map. And he looks over Cal to see that you're like halfway done with your copy. And he's like, oh, well, I thought I was rather fast in copying. Anyway, he says there's no need to damage the original, so just make sure you do that. Then rushes off to saying something about his room and a rucksack and something about protection for the road. So this footlocker really is sitting in front of you on the ground, closed.
Yeah, well, Granny would like nonchalantly, you know, scoot over, open it, and, you know, just rummage around inside.
Inside, you find cloaks, you find backpacks, you find a lot of pocket handkerchiefs.
She's just
number of pocket handkerchiefs. you also find a few battered weapons. Specifically, you find three staves, which could be used as walking sticks. You find a pair of small hunting bows, which they don't look hobbits. I mean, they'll work for hobbits, but they look a little bit larger than hobbit size. They're not human sized. They might have been from dwarves, maybe. That's quite possible. And there are two quivers of 20 arrows each. There's an axe for cutting wood in there, and there is a dagger. Coriander,
for
you
cutting
see.
People.
I say again.
For cutting people.
For cutting people, yes. You see, Coriander, what you do not see, and you're probably slightly disappointed, is there is no sign of the rumored legendary weapon known as Sting, which was brought back. That is not in this chest. Perhaps there may be a good reason for that, but it is not here in this chest. So you
probably
can all
on Geedy Prime right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you all can take whatever you like from this. As I say, there's an axe, there's a dagger, there's two bows, two dwarvish bows apparently, with 20 arrows each. There's cloaks, backpacks, and lots of pocket handkerchiefs.
Is there a partridge in a pear tree?
There is not a partridge in a pear tree. No, I'm not going to re-roll the chest dragon spear. That was handcrafted. It was not procedurally generated. Smart guy. So you can take, if any of you would like to take any of that, you can. These are all functional as the weapon would be in the list. So like what a basic axe would be, what a dagger would be, etc. And go ahead and mark if are people taking anything. Just let me know if you are taking anything or not.
I had already had walking staff and bow in my as a messenger, just mm-hmm. you know, kind of up for on the road. But I may not have had it like on this last adventure, but I'll kind of restock now with these implements, you know, thinking, okay, oh, these are quite nice, and it's a connection to Bilbo, so yeah, I'll do that. So a bow and a walking staff,
also a couple of writing supplies in there, Cal, a couple of quills in particular that are clearly writing intended, a little dusty but quite serviceable.
Coriander
would definitely take a dagger. And she would be looking, absolutely, for a Sting, hoping to find something with a bluish tinge. I think she's heard a lot of stories about Sting from Bilbo and stuff, and has kind of always longed to see it, or maybe even caught a glimpse of it if he used it in a kind of show-and-tell situation. But I can imagine that for whatever reason, it continues to elude her whenever she is actually in Bilbo's home. And she just has to decide that probably it doesn't want to be found and it's quite happy where it is. But that said, she is very fond of daggers and she...
and she grabs one.
Herself to one. Just finds one with her name on it, more or less. And then, yeah, takes that.
Outstanding. What about you, Granny? Are you grabbing anything from there?
Nothing really seems to be needed for her from the things you listed, I think.
There is a battered kettle in there, if that's of any interest.
You could deep fry.
No, she has her own kettle.
Golden.
Okay. Right at there, exactly. As you're sort of all looking.
Oh, is there
this,
any tobacco in there?
There are a couple of pouches, yes.
Yes, and she would like snatch some of those for the road.
Of the what is it? The old Withwindle? Might be the name of it. I forget what he calls it in slang.
Well, like the good stuff is Longbottom and the bad stuff is South Lynch, and there was like a metal tier one which I didn't write down.
Yeah, I think it might be the middle tier one I'm thinking about. But so as you're sort of looking through this, Bilbo reemerges and perhaps charges into the room might be more appropriate. Bilbo is wearing a very dusty bluish cloak. And it seems to be kind of like very weather-worn and so on. And yet at the same time, it's not dirty. It looks as if it's been just, you know, lovingly cared for and then used a whole lot. And he has got a backpack on his back. He has a walking staff in his hand, a walking stick basically in his hand. And at his belt, Coriander, you can catch sight of a sheathed weapon, a sheathed short sword. And he sort of sweeps past all of you and he throws open the front door to Bag End. And he says, well, come on, we'd best be off. And he emerges out of the, charges forward onto the road.
Coriander helped herself to three pocket handkerchiefs in different colors, in sort of bright, summery pastels, and yep, they complement each other. And she has very nimbly and quickly folded each one of them into a cute shape and tucked them into different pockets.
Do you accidentally make one into a bear and then see Titch sort of glancing and you're like, what? Let me just...
No, bears are not in her repertoire of shapes that she makes, but definitely like a couple of birds and...
A brooch, a pterodactyl.
Yeah, the swan. I'm trying to think of what other shapes I've seen. A rose. Yeah, two birds and a flower.
Two birds and a flower. Okay.
Does Coriander have her spoon?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, she was given, I presume, a spoon, her pick of spoons, but it's actually, she does have her spoon. Yeah.
Has she chosen that spoon, and is she bringing that spoon on the road?
I think she is going to bring that spoon on the road. I thought she might take one and want to, like, hide it, but I don't think, I bet this is what would have happened. She would have said to Bilbo, Uncle Bilbo, I know I said I wanted only one spoon, but I think it's important if we are going to go on an adventure. I chose this spoon to keep safe, but I think I need an adventuring spoon. So I think I would like to request a second spoon.
He does actually provide you a second spoon. it is a very nice second spoon. And he says, quickly, he says to you, you know, if you're ever able to find the companion to that, perhaps if you're speaking to one of the Sackville Bagginses, let me know. It may have some connection. without, he's out the door. And I want to bring chat and my players, of course, to two places. First of all, they're already on the map. So this is the map of Eriador. And here they are in the Shire. But they are going to be going north. And so it is my great pleasure to bring you to a new map. So if we start down here and head to the north, I believe it is. Yes. So this is Bag End, as people may be able to note right now. And the path that Bilbo has traced out, which he works through with you, Cal, in terms of how to do it, basically follows this dotted line to get to Oatbarton. Oat Barton. I beg your pardon. So it was that whole thing about Baron was never even an issue. It was Oat Barton. I thought it was a little odd as I was saying it. I'm like, I don't even think Oat Barton. So the way that they have recommended that is to go on the East Road, take the road to Bywater to the south, then go on the East Road, and then take the Northway Road once you get up here, all the way up to Oat Barton, which is here. And then if all goes well, hopefully on further up to Kingsworthy and where the where Bull Roar Took's Club may have been found. It's important to note, by the way, that this is probably a 3-day journey by leisurely walk, but it's more than worth it, as Bilbo assures you, when it's about getting the club for Bull Roar Took, and, as always, you know, hastens to add, Titch, and guarding the people from the depredations of whatever they face.
I love, by the way, that Titch's tile is like looking at the map in scared fashion, as if he's not ready for this adventure. In the bottom right,
he's just like, ah. Yeah, that's right.
What are we gonna see?
That's true. I should
actually
zoom out.
I don't know what to do without bears.
Let me see if I can show that. Because I went. Okay, can you bring that up a little bit, Trends? Yeah. I can see.
I'll bring him up to about here.
Can you go left slightly? like to bring it to here. There you go. Now chat can actually see it. So that is Titch's token down there at the bottom right. That is funny. Okay. So, the sort of walk that you're taking is part of this. Now, it is important to recognize that there are events that can happen in the Shire. And there's a special mechanic for this, which we call Hobbit Walks. It's important to recognize that there is, if you're some famous man, let's call you Aragorn, or you're some, you know, doughty dwarf, Thorin Oakenshield or something, or you're a wandering elf like Legolas, you would not think of traveling through the Shire as anything more than a pleasant stroll. Like, there are no real natural dangers, the people are courteous, you know, the worst you could ever get into trouble with is if you maybe drink too much at a tavern, right? Like, I mean, there's just not much that's likely to happen to you. However, the hobbits sometimes will run into situations where, on a hobbit walk, they will have particular events that occur. And so what I'm going to ask here is for one of you, it's up to you who you want to choose, to roll a d20 for me.
This is like the old second edition random encounters table.
A little bit. The Hobbit Walks table is specific, but it only works in the Shire, and it only really affects it when you're dealing with a majority Hobbit party.
I'll do it. I want to roll a die. So it's 1d20?
Yes.
All right. Ba-boing.
Ah.
16.
So, as you move along down the road on this 16 roll, it is a very peaceful journey. In fact, according to the table, it is a pleasant stroll as you go along. There's nothing in particular adventurous that happens, although it is important to note that although it is spring, the last hints of winter still nip at your toes. I think mid-April, we're not quite there, we're a little bit past that now, but like mid-April might have been appropriate for this, for us. Well, I don't know, actually for Amal, I'm sure it's already still winter nipping, but for those of us down here where the weather was in like the 50s Fahrenheit or whatever, it felt like that kind of mid-spring, mid to late spring perhaps. So there's, no, I shouldn't say late spring, mid-spring. So the last hints of winter are still nipping at the toes of the party. Once you get to the heart of the village, the houses there of Bywater, as you're heading down below, you can, as you're sort of heading over to the North Farthing, you can see as you're down on the road that there is a small group of people who are gathered around what looks like something. It looks like a cart, but the cart does not look to be right. There's something weird about it. It seems to be off center or sort of tilted. And there seem to be four hobbits who are talking with one, maybe it'd be best to say, ill-favored man, who's kind of, you know, grunting and growling at them. You can't quite make out what it is, but they seem to be all pretty agitated and sort of yelling at this ill-favored man who responds with a couple of short, you know, comments and not much else. And this is right ahead of you on the road as you're moving on to the East Road, just about to get to the East Road, actually. You can see this cart just about in the middle of the road. You could also ignore it and just go past it if you want.
But. Is it an open bed cart?
It does appear to be, because the hobbits and the man are sort of in front of it, you can't quite get a good glimpse of it. So you don't know if there are walls. It's certainly not a super tall cart, but you can just see the side walls of it. You don't know whether the other side of it is open, but you could just sort of see the side walls. It appears to be tilted somehow.
Is there anything visibly in the cart?
Make a perception check for me, please. I'll have you do this at -2 because you're a little bit of a distance.
Sorry.
I'm short.
And short. yes. Perception.
Oh, wow.
That's a
20. 20 with the big old 22 combined. Yeah, it does look as if there are like what look like leaves of some kind that are kind of flowing, some kind of brownish leaves that are flowing out of the cart and maybe onto the ground, which as far as you know, Coriander, is not the way carts work. I mean, you always thought this stuff is supposed to stay in the cart. But a lot of them seem to be on the ground and next to the cart.
And they're like, they're brown leaves. Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of like.
They remind you of what Granny often is using, either.
Oh, okay, so it's not like garden refuse. It's
no,
like
no,
okay,
definitely
it's
not.
Interesting. So Coriander is gonna
raw tobacco.
Coriander is like peering forward, and she's like, Do you see that cart seems to be full of leaves? Granny, does that look like those, like your what you put in your pipes and your herbs and things?
Did some of the leaves like fall like in pickup distance?
Not yet. You'd have to get closer, because you can see it from a distance. They're definitely all around the cart.
How is the wind going currently? Like, is there maybe a whiff coming?
Just a breeze. You don't smell anything yet.
Okay.
If anything, it's going away from you.
Granny would go, nah, I'm not sure. I would need to get closer.
I'm going to get closer. Coriander's just going to, like, saunter over.
Cal, you were going to say?
Oh, I was going along the tobacco lines as well. Same thing. You want to get a little closer and see what's going on. Maybe talk to them once we get a little closer. Hear what they're saying.
Okay. So when they get when you get closer, you can hear.
I'm checking the axle, by the way, too. If it's tilted,
yes.
I'm guessing a wheel is off.
That is exactly right. In fact, the axle is cracked, and you can see that as you get closer, there is this very kind of, I guess the way it would be sort of like a very taciturn donkey at the front of the cart who's just sitting there and like. You know, and chewing, like, you know, chewing on something and occasionally looks over its shoulder. And you can see that there is a large rock in the road over which the axle has cracked. And the four hobbits, as you get closer, are clearly arguing with the man about something relating to the cart. And as you get closer, one of them says, "That's not what you would have charged us if we were in this spot. You're not helping us at all. We're needing some help, we're telling you. We don't have anything right now. We can pay you more when we get back."
"Getting me paid when you get back won't do much good. I'm looking for payment now. You want help getting this thing moving again? Getting this axle fixed? Well then, you'll see what you can do about paying me. I know you got more there in your purses."
"No, we don't. We don't have any such thing. And this rock wasn't here, you know, a week ago. I wouldn't be surprised if you were the one who put this in the road."
"Well, that's the kind of accusation that could get you in trouble with your sheriffs. I don't think they much like people falsely accusing others of something they were responsible for."
Mm-hmm. And
So this is the stuff you hear as you get closer.
Having come from the Shire, do I recognize any of them?
I would say that a couple of them do look familiar, although they might be just sort of from like a, they might be from Bywater and therefore don't get up that much into Hobbiton, maybe, Cal.
Okay.
But you do, they seem possibly familiar. The man looks completely unfamiliar. About Titch's size, though, somewhere about Titch's size, maybe a little taller. In fact, looks a little like Titch, a little bit.
All and, humans look alike.
Yeah, right. It's all this. It's all men of Bree, you know. But, no, but looks
I'm going to approach and just say, hey, friends, what's happening here? You seem to have a bit of trouble.
And the man doesn't say anything, and they say, well, we have a bit of trouble. We're trying to bring this here. We've got some of this that we have to dry these leaves after the harvest, and we're bringing them back, and all of a sudden, well, this, hey, spooks, and he points at the donkey, which is... The idea that the donkey has spooked since birth seems unlikely to you, but anyway, and they claim, and he says, these spooks, and all of a sudden starts running down the highway as fast as you please. Well, he runs down here, and the next thing we hear is this awful crack, and then it turns out he brought a cart right over the axle. And look at all the crop. Well, half of it's down on the ground now. How are we going to get it back? And then this man here just appears out of nowhere, nice as you please, comes out and says he'll fix it for us if we give him 50% of this stock. And the
just seems ridiculous, says Coriander.
And the man sort of, you know, the man who looks a little bit like the donkey actually kind of, you know, says like, well, not as ridiculous as people getting into business that ain't theirs. I offered to help. If they don't want it, I'll be on my way.
Well, I think that there is a robust and competitive free market here, and I think that we could offer our services to help you fix this cart for free. Would you prefer that? She says to the people whose cart has been busted.
You're trying to break down the repair market, the human says. And Titch, as you get closer, suddenly you think you recognize this guy. This is apparently, if you're right, a man named Roger Blackwell, and he lives in Bree and is often seen in the company of Bill Ferney. Now, Bill Ferney is bad news. You know this because you've often been called to deal with issues relating to Bill Ferney. Bill Ferney tends to spend a lot of times with men from outside of Bree, sort of strangers who glower at you darkly and don't really answer your questions and all that stuff. And all the guards of Bree basically know that Bill Ferney is kind of a... He's always cunning, like you can never move against him directly because it's not like he does something that's completely illegal, but it always feels like he's right on the edge, sort of skirting the grounds of stuff. And he'll rip people off for as much as he can get away with without, you know, actually falling afoul of the law. So this guy has been in Bill Ferney's, this guy, Roger Blackwell, has been in Blackwood, I think I said, Roger Blackwood has been in the company of Bill Ferney quite a bit.
Doesn't Bill Ferney also mistreat ponies?
That, yeah. From Titch's experience, absolutely.
Which Titch would absolutely know since he's also part-time hustler at the guard. Yep.
Does Granny recognize any of the hobbits here?
I would say probably the same as Cal would. That you might, they might, like, the faces do look a little familiar, but not where you can call them to mind. You probably have seen them pass by, but they're from south of Hobbiton, and you have certainly been down that way before, but, like, nothing where you're like, oh, yeah, you're so-and-so. But they do look somewhat familiar to you.
Also, she would then, like, go pick up some of the leaves from the ground and inspect them closer to see what exactly this stuff is.
This is, you immediately smell the delightful to you anyway, fresh, slightly sweet smell of tobacco freshly harvested.
Can she tell what kind of tobacco?
Let me see. Yes, make a nature check. Medicine check.
I have pipe weed as a, what's it called?
As a feature. Cultural virtue trait. Yeah.
Remind me.
As a thingamajig, if my character sheet would load, War 20 is very slow today. As a tool. proficiency there. Pipes.
Okay.
The tool proficiency. Also herbalism.
So then let me have you make then please a medicine check for me, but do it at advantage.
A medicine check.
So while she's doing that, Kitch is going to lean down to...
thank you for the advantage.
I'll come back to that in a minute. Go ahead, Titch.
Yeah, no kidding. For those of you listening at home, that's a 13. The other was a natural one.
Yeah.
So, Coriander, that's her name. yes, you. Kind of leans down and is like, could you? Because she said, no, we could fix it for free. And just leans down and says, could you?
It doesn't seem that complicated. I'm sure that between all four of us, we could probably figure out a way to do it.
Well, I don't know any carpentry, so.
I'm forgetting if I think we said Coriander's parents are potters, but I can't remember. That might have actually been a slightly rejected backstory. I'm just assuming it's like changing a tire on a car.
Titch has carpenter's tools because he's used to working on the gates.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he could probably
for
do
all
it.
Those times like large black horses kick those.
Exactly.
Over.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah.
All that right. Never so
let me just see what I actually put on my sheet in terms of things.
Okay.
I mean, she is very, 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 very dexterous, and she has sleight of hand. She can pretend to be
sleight of hand. She can pickpocket the cart.
Juggle the
is she dexterous enough to thread the sewing machine while it's running?
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's see. I mean, wait, I don't actually see what the skill would be here. I don't have, like, on this sheet what.
Well, so.
Oh, wait, no, there are additional ones. I forgot. Okay, let's see. No, even there, I don't really see carpentry as an option for a skill.
So.
Survival? Maybe?
That wouldn't, like, the carpentry would be a tool proficiency. That would be woodworking tools or something
right.
like that.
Got it.
And I think we'll talk about the impact of that in a minute. I do want to mention Granny, one of the things that you note about this is there is a particular kind of tobacco which is only made in a certain part of the Shire, and it has to do with three farthing stone, which is basically to the east of where you are. The reason you know this is they clearly said harvest, but as I clearly mentioned to you, this is the spring, and you normally do not harvest items in the spring, but there's one exception, which is that there is a particular kind of tobacco which is made near which is grown near three farthing stone, which is kept in a sort of greenhouse over the course of winter. And then when it is taken out of the greenhouse in the spring, it is brought back, left to dry in the sun, and then is basically, you know, packaged and treated and all that stuff, and then used as tobacco in the summer months. This tobacco is, you talked about middle tier, to use Pokemon analogy for just a moment, this is S tier, okay? This is the best tobacco. I'm, of course, saying this as someone who's never smoked in his life, but this is the best tobacco. It is a
like even
wonderful...
better than Longbottom.
Oh, yeah. It's better than Longbottom, and it's very unusual because it has a very small harvest window, and as I say, it only grows in certain places. So this
What's the name of this?
A lot of his stuff. You would probably call this, the name of it is Three Stone. Tobacco. There are definite slang names that you might be able to think of, but Three Stone is the name of the tobacco. This is actually stuff which gets sold in Brie as well.
While the other gentlemen are distracted, she would just grab some of that, put some in her pipe, and have a smoke just to, you know, be sure that this is really the good stuff.
So, well, it hasn't been dried yet.
I'm not sure.
It hasn't been dried yet, so it's like,
this dark smell.
I was going to say, I'd love you to just keep going. No, they're going to dry it. They have taken it out of the place.
Like, because you said the leaves were brown, so I'm assumed they were...
They are brown. That's how they... But they're not light brown. They're dark brown. They are light brown once they're dry.
I don't know tobacco. I don't smoke. I have a pipe, but I don't smoke, actually. Like, I find smoking...
Same, on all
disgusting.
Counts. Me either.
Like, ugh, no.
But yeah.
No, in that
case. The leaves are probably also...
But she would, like, still bag some of that stuff because, you know, she can dry it at home.
It is true, though, that these are big leaves. So just keep in mind, you need to, like, crumble them. And at the moment, they're not particularly crumbly. They're damp because they're being brought back to where they're going to be dried.
Yeah, she would then, like, I guess, fold them up. And like put them in a...
You could definitely do that, although they're at the moment they're more occupied with arguing with the guy. So
she's not going to fold up the guy. She was going to fold up some of the leaves.
Yes, no, I know the leaves to the guy.
Doesn't matter that they're very occupied.
You might be folding up the guy in just a minute because Titch is kind of taking exception to that.
Okay.
But yeah, so having a look at... And for one, he sort of... Once he checks with Coriander to see if, you know, could we actually do this... He's also looking at the axle to see if it's something that he thinks he could fix.
Yes. Make an investigation check for me, please.
Okay.
Coriander will say things like, I'm very good at taking direction. I have seen many carts, and I know what they look like when they work, and this one is clearly broken.
Sorry.
I'm saying, clearly broken. And I think that surely by knowing what a functional cart looks like, between the four of us, we're all very clever. We could probably make it work. And personally, because we don't have expertise in the subject, we would not be charging an artisan's fee. We are just helpful travelers wanting to help our fellow travelers.
Right. We're trying to reach them about their cart's extended warranty.
Yeah.
Which is... exactly who's calling Arv right now.
Yeah.
Which apparently that call's not going well, so, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Looks like he doesn't understand how to answer a phone. You know, he's probably... The house he lives in is pretty old, so it's probably one of those ones where you have to crank it and, you know, say, you know, Warfield 356, connected, blah, 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 blah.
It is pretty astonishing how telephone technology has degraded over... As all of our other telecommunication infrastructure has transformed, we want to get a landline into this house that we have just moved into.
So you can actually hear people?
Yes! I can actually hear people also, so that if the power goes out, I don't have to worry about the charge on my phone and stuff. But
yeah.
Something Dragon Spirit just said about be strong, swipe to answer, and then just say no. The other thing you can do that just, in my experience, works very, very well is if you answer a call that you don't know who it is and you say, this call is being recorded, and they're like, click, and you're like,
Actually, it's a funny thing. We definitely want to get a landline, but because the world has changed, we also have to figure out ways to block calls between certain hours, like, because there are so many robocalls and things now. So if you want to not be woken up in the night by your phone and don't want to have to remember to, like, unplug and replug your phone, then, like, Stu is actually researching what options you have for instance, putting your phone on the same network as a Raspberry Pi and, like, filtering out all but certain numbers and stuff. And I'm like, God, I just really want normal landline technology to not have fallen out of use. Like, just a good quality phone call would be so nice. Would like to be able to hold this device up to my ear and hear people instead of needing a pair of very expensive wireless headphones to go in to make the call quality passable and stuff. It's just inshittification, as Cory Doctorow calls it.
What you do is you unplug the handset the coily cord that goes in, and then you just take the headset off the thing so that even though it's off the hook and it would normally be going or whatever, but the handset is unplugged so you can't hear it. But when you pick up the thing, that's when we realize that we've completely beaten these guys. They've given us all of the tobacco. The donkey loves us.
I don't think any of this happened.
I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, no,
and
I'm sure.
You know, has heard what we did for the other donkey. And yeah.
You're the heroes of donkeys. Yes. Sorry about that. My daughter is one of a very few freshman in the state of Connecticut who's going to be taking a AP World History exam on Thursday, and so she is a little teensy bit stressed apparently history. About it.
You know what? She should try dealing with donkeys.
Yeah, that's true. With donkeys and axles are certainly far worse. So anyway, sorry about that. So 13. The investigation check. Okay. Yeah. A couple things you notice then, Titch. When you go down there, and you're looking at the axle, you do think you might be able to at least brace it enough. It's got this sort of like, it's a clean crack, basically. So you think you can kind of move it into place and essentially lash it together using some leather straps to hold it in place. However, the thing that strikes you about this is that this axle could only have had a clean break like this if it hit with considerable force, meaning that it must have been going at quite a speed when it actually struck this boulder, this rock, which you can clearly see in the middle of the road. So, yeah.
So two things.
Yeah.
In my travels as a messenger, do I know close by, and because we're by Bywater, right?
Yeah.
Do I know a wheelwright in this area, this immediate area?
Probably yes. You would probably know a wheelwright. And Bilbo, of course, remember Bilbo's with you. So Bilbo is kind of like, you know, kind of shaking his head, and he also looks slightly impatient, like he wants to help, but he also clearly wants to get moving. But you know, if you didn't, certainly you would expect that that Bilbo would. And yeah, so you think there is a wheelwright back in town that they could probably be brought to. But this man, this you know, sort of ill-favored man is kind of glowering at you when you're looking at, when you're sort of looking around at these things. Not just you, but the whole group.
Yeah. I would like to use either animal handling or maybe perception, whatever is more appropriate, to look at the donkey and just see if there's anything amiss. I'm looking for like scrapes, even a sign of blood maybe, or anything odd.
There's a little yes leaves. Let's have you make a animal handling.
Not bad.
15. So the donkey seems kind of like, and as you get over, you notice that the donkey does seem like very— this, again, it's hard to believe this thing ever got this agitated. But as you're kind of moving around, you can see there is something odd about its back right flank. And, haunch, really. And when you go to it and you look, you sort of trace your hand down carefully. And you find a very small, almost what feels like a needle. And it appears to be a small dart, which is in the haunch of this thing.
Making sure to sort of cover it up from where the man is standing, I'm going to wave the owners of the cart over.
Okay. Well, some of them are occupied. I mean, you could probably get one or two of them. Like, some of them are you know, like, actively talking with the guy.
Yeah.
But
how many are there?
Four. Four hobbits.
Yeah, really. You know, the closest. I'm going to call them over.
Okay. So one of them comes over and, yes, young master. Sorry, we're trying to occupy ourselves getting this thing working.
We have a bit of an issue here. I was taking a look at your donkey, and just take a look at this. And I just point to it before I do anything.
He kind of squints his eyes. He looks like an older hobbit. He squints his eyes.
Do you know anything about this?
Oh no, it looks like something in there. It's a Kushuri dart. And you can find out more if you buy from Athis Arts, the silver medal winning. No. So he just turns the camera and the whole thing is an advertisement. I'm so tired of this guerrilla marketing. It's just no.
And now we cut to commercial.
No, wow.
We pause this.
Gray Shade this emerges from the road. Like, no. No. But he looks at it and he's just like, it does look like a, is that a dart? Oi!
I believe it is.
Well, what's it doing here?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
And he kind of looks up and he says, hey, come over here, you. And the other three hobbits sort of, what, Dad? We're not doing, oh, come over here and don't argue. And so one of them comes over and, yeah, what is it? And he says, well, look, this one right here found this. And he points to the thing and his son kind of looks over and, what is that, dart? That's what it is. It's a dart, it is. And they sort of look back over. Granny and Titch and Coriander, please make perception checks for me.
Sure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very nice.
Okay. Good stuff from Granny. Coriander is maybe a little bit more occupied with the cart.
Maybe.
And Titch.
Okay. What did you say?
I said perception, please.
Perception.
17. Granny and Titch, you notice that the man is slowly making his way off the path. Like, basically just, you know, like kind of...
And
like he's Homer Simpsoning into the bush.
Yeah, kind of literally in the bush. Like.
Since Granny was like not, you know, standing right in the center of, can we say that she's like standing in an opportune position to, you know, just make a walking stick a bit to the side so that he would trip over it while he's walking backwards?
Well, depends on whether you're doing it as like an attempt to like trace him down or if you're like sort of
I'm
like
trying to trip him.
Whoops him. Okay. So I'll come back to that. I want to know what Titch is doing first so I can decide what order.
I was going
to
say, Titch is basically, I mean, knowing this guy.
Yeah.
You know, it has basically got himself positioned where he's just going to kind of extend his spear behind the dude so he just backs up into it.
Okay. So
Titch is just going to be like, mm-mm. Not the point of his spear, just he's got like him, like he's got the haft of the spear.
Yeah.
Backs up into it.
So I like the idea that both you and Granny both have your like, like the walking stick and the spears. Yeah, basically like connect by our powers combined. I think Granny, you're slightly disappointed that he doesn't trip because Titch's spearhead also means that you're just sort of blocking him off. So he kind of bumps into it and then he's like, "Oi, what you?" And then he sees you, Titch, and his eyes just slightly widen a little bit. And he's like, "Hey, it's Titch. It's Titch from Bree. What are you doing here?" Sorry, wrong voice. Titch from Bree, what are you doing here? He says, I'm just, let me go. You got no jurisdiction in these parts. I'm just on my way. They don't want my help. I don't need to give it to them.
And Titch reaches, I mean, his spear is still right where it was. And I figure the beauty of the scene for me is that, you know, he bumps into Titch's thing, but Granny still has her spear, like, down by his ankles.
Yeah.
So that if he bolts, she just, puts it in front of him and knocks him down, is how I'm picturing it, instead of both of us kind of cross. Anyway, so Titch reaches into his belt and pulls out his Michelle Delving coin.
Okay.
His sigil of Michelle Delving, the bounders that he was given, you know, for the thing. And he's like, on the contrary, I do have jurisdiction here.
What? Since when are you a bounder? He says.
That is none of your business. This, I believe, is.
I was just here trying to provide some assistance, and that was all my job is in this. Now, by this point, Cal, some of the hobbits have gone over, several of the hobbits have gone over and are, like, glaring at the guy. The older hobbit that you originally pointed this out to sort of is, like, carefully, like, just... takes the need of the sort of dart out, and the donkey kind of like that's the biggest reaction that you get from the donkey, and he brings it over and he kind of looks up and he says,
Oi, there looks like there's still something on tip of this besides blood.
And he brings it over this way.
Cocaine!
Cocaine
yeah,
Donkey,
would,
the great sequel.
Like to have right. a closer look at that.
Okay, Granny, as you look at it, how do you want to try to examine this thing?
So this is like a needle with some blood on it, and what's the obvious thing about it? What's the other thing on it?
So there's a slight, you can see that there's a slight fletching, I believe it is, in the back. Just a slight little, like very small. And it clearly is intended to be not easy to see and easy to conceal when you were taking it out for use. Because otherwise most darts have sort of larger fletching or larger fletch, whatever the term for that is, the yep. feathers on the back, right? This one has smaller ones. Okay. And the dart itself also, you can see just looking at it, has kind of a hollow tip, which is typically not what a dart that you would like play at a dartboard in a tavern would use.
Hey, Titch over there, can you please... go search our friend here if he happens to have, like, some kind of blowing pipe or something on him.
Can I actually, I wanted to suggest before you asked that Coriander, like, have slipped up around him and just sort of helped herself to searching him. Just,
whoops!
Sideways inching up behind him.
You know? Yeah.
And maybe look for a vial of some kind or something.
Yeah, just to see if she's like, you know, like this, essentially, if she's successful.
Let's have you make a sleight of hand check.
What this reminds me of is in the movie Legend with Tom Cruise and the incredible Tim Curry, when the goblins are about to dart the unicorn and it pries open the mouth of that frog that it uses as the poison thing, dips the and pulls it out. There's just this glop of crap on it.
It's
that's the name of it.
Yeah. And so actually, you do in fact, Coriander manage to sneak around and relieve him a couple of objects that clearly needed relieving. There are two things that you note. One, there is a second dart. Two, you do find a small little vial of liquid.
So Coriander
sealed,
like,
obviously. Like,
I cannot stress enough, like, the second that Granny says, like, Titch, would you like search him and stuff, Coriander just like appears and is like, you mean like these things?
Like this?
From
the Necronomicon. Like
Why, yes, thank you very much, my dear. She like rummages in her pocket and gets out like a caramel.
And the right, and the man and so the man says, the man's like, oi, and then he stops.
Okay. She like gives Coriander the candy, like you know, Werther's original. I don't know how you say it in English.
Werther's originally. Yeah.
I
love them.
Like the equivalent of that, just like some homemade caramel, I suppose.
Okay.
She would like smell the needle and also smell the liquid in the bottle to like see if it matches up.
Medicine check for me, please.
Yes. And like also try and see if she can get anything from that.
And
right from the get-go.
Coriander, also make an insight check for me, please. This is based on the reaction the guy had.
I was going to say, Titch is prime. He is high strung watching
yeah,
this dude.
Yeah. And I'll come back to that, Granny, in just a minute.
That is a 13.
I think that's enough to say that when he said the whole oi thing, you thought you saw a sparkle, a glimpse, a glimmer of recognition. Like, hey, ma... And then stopped. Like, what are you doing with my... You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
What are you doing with my deadly poison, man?
How dare you take the thing I must pretend that I don't have? Yeah,
while Granny is doing this medicine check... Coriander is like, I mean, she is so like happy and charming and stuff all the time, but she is actually looking like daggers at this man. She's like,
while chewing on her caramel, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Looking she's very like, much like the donkey. Like, it's like a montage cut from Coriander to the donkey, like the other way.
She is looking at him and she is like, try, what she would say if she didn't, like, were she not chewing or sucking on a lozenge thing, what she would say is, how dare you? How dare you hurt an innocent donkey with your vicious, terrible darts, you horrible, horrible man. But instead what comes out is, how dare you? How dare you?
So instead he kind of looks, kind of gives you this confused, what, you know, like, as you're saying this to him.
Coriander looks to Titch and goes, Titch, tell him!
Before you say it, before you respond, Titch, to take in one more bit of data from Granny. Granny, almost certainly, you've seen herbs like this and medications that are used before. They are basically something that in the trade might be called adjutants, things that are designed to temporarily create like a spasm, sort of like a spasm in the muscle that can cause something to, like, not to drive them mad, like permanently damage them, but to, like, flip them out for a brief period of time. They are designed, this stuff is, it's a little crude, but this is the kind of stuff that is useful because it, once it's used, it quickly tends to disappear. It doesn't, you know, stick around very easily, and it can be administered in small doses. And if you want a very limited effect, it will do that.
Okay.
It's also not so great as stuff.
Am I certain that this is like the same stuff in the bottle and on the dart?
You're pretty confident that it is, yeah. Okay. I mean, you'd have to do full checks and everything, but you're pretty confident that it's similar, yeah.
My dear, what was your name? And she, like, points at the dude.
And he says, our name's Roger. There's no crime in having that name or being on this road.
Titch nods in confirmation that that is, in fact, his name.
Right, Roger, my boy. And she, like, steps up to him and, like, pockets the vial in the meantime. How did you... What did you need this for? Why did, was this in your possession?
I ain't seen that before in my life. She must have come up with it.
And he kind of looks over at Coriander.
It's not mine.
Right. Coriander, my dear. Did you happen to have this vial before you took it from this man?
No, I took it out of his butt. She, like, points to the places on him where she took it out.
Right. So, Roger was in here, yes? So do you think I'm gonna believe some, frankly, quite shady individual that I just met, or my dearest little granddaughter, who can do no wrong?
Not my problem if you want to believe your granddaughter. I'll just be on my way if you people treat people who are trying to help like this, then.
Oh, will you be on your way? Like, Granny steps up further to him and just puts, like, her... staff onto his toe.
Does she, like, smash it down or just, like...
No, like, no, like, she's not, like, trying to break his toe, but, right, you know, just like, you know, some...
She gets wobbly and needs to put her weight
yeah,
on.
Yeah, oh, whoops, I apologize. No.
And just, like, you know, tries to give him a death stare from down below.
At this point, the other hobbits, by the way, have gathered. So now he's facing down 7 angry hobbits plus Titch, which is a little bit more numbers than he had been planning when he was just dealing with. And he's like,
all right, well, maybe I have it for medicinal purposes. I was bringing it back to my grandmother, what lives off to the west. It's none of your business anyway. Yeah.
Does she have, like, anger issues in the sense that she never gets angry, or why would she need this?
It's medication, medicine. She said she needs it to keep herself calm, that's all I know.
Oh, it makes you calm? Well, you seem very agitated right now. So she hit the dart that she was still holding and stabs him with it.
Yes!
So yes! He's like,